Sean, we're sitting here in this beautiful Friday morning.
Yes.
You know, the wind has stopped. And I was sitting in this podcast
room. Was there wind in this room?
There was wind yesterday. Remember how windy it was on our adventure?
Oh, it's because you were sitting across from me.
Pretty much.
Okay,
pretty much.
Go ahead.
But aside from that, I was sitting here. And do you ever get the feeling that there's a third party in the room?
It feels like there's another presence here.
I feel sort of like I'm being watched. And then, my gosh, we are being watched. we have a guest sitting right across from me. I was correct. Right to my left.
Does he come speak?
Well, I want to welcome Robert Reed from Gallery America. It's like having, we're all tongue-tied, you know?
I feel winded.
And that, folks, is how you ad-lib an intro.
AKA riff.
We're riffing.
Chortling. Yes. Chortling. Yeah. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Wacky Poem Life, episode 121.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I was so guessing and I was wrong.
It's totally insane that we're at 121.
Yeah. And I didn't know Robert was going to be our guest till yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm just holding it back. Surprise.
I record Gallery America on my DVR. The little orange circle is set to record. Gallery America.
He'll pat your back here in a minute.
No, seriously. it's one of those series that I record, and I think, I know him.
Yeah. Everyone should have an orange circle.
Everyone should have an orange circle with an R on it.
I don't have one.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. I love it.
I record it over and over, and I watch. I think,
God. Bill's got high-tech equipment at home.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Which I don't know how to use, but I fumble through. So.
I am Sean.
I am Bill.
I'm Robert. The orange circle-less Robert.
We're happy to be with you today.
And the triangle is complete.
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Coming to you from the Rural Oklahoma Museum of Poetry in Locust Grove, Mays County, Oklahoma.
World famous Locust Grove.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were stated, our Locust Grove, the town, was on mic speaker in the Capitol building yesterday.
Several times. Right.
Yeah.
In glowing terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we come to you every other week nowadays, talking about poetry and various things. And a lot of times it's a poem that someone has written here in the museum, and we just discuss it and go from there with it. And we are going to talk about some of the poems that were left in the museum very recently. And we're going to make Robert recite his poem that he told me he wrote the other day.
Uh-oh.
And he...
Memo to self, never tell about poetry.
I have a poem.
Well, that's what you have to do for making me type Become the Poem over and over and over on a manual typewriter just a few minutes ago.
Become the Poem.
Yeah.
It was The Shining, sequel.
I have no feeling left in my fingers. So... That's what you get.
It is a rather frightening product, that page that says it over and over again. It becomes a threat the more you see it. Thank you for doing that. It was wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, well, tell people first. Why? What's that about? What are you doing?
Well, I work for Gallery America, which is the arts show on OETA, which is PBS in Oklahoma. Gallery has been around for 23 years, not that anyone's counting. I'm counting. 20, not that I have. I've been there for 4. But and so we focus on arts and culture in Oklahoma. And I've been wanting to do something on romp since I started. Literally, I started during the quarantine. I have a map on my wall of Oklahoma. And I was just doing Google searches about things all around the state. And that's literally how I found out about romp. And I was going, oh, my gosh. And so during quarantine, we weren't doing anything. But for our May episode, it's going to feature you, Sean, as you know. And a reenactment of how romp began.
Yeah.
I think the cinematic moment
listeners,
of you talking
Robert
with
is a complete nut.
This is going to make golf carts chic again.
That's right.
It's going to make the golf carts the mode
of transportation. Go ahead. We interrupted you.
I would like to see that on a baseball cap. In May, we're going to be talking about romp, and we'll be talking with you and how to become the poem. And today we just need to get a little footage of you typing. And so that's why that happened. Our last shot for this episode.
But the last time he was here, I had to do a lot of riding around on a golf cart, and I had to get my 89-year-old dad out to reenact.
He's a natural. He needs to be on camera,
We had to reenact the initial request of him that if I could use his tractor shed for the first poetry museum. Yeah. Yes.
That was beautiful.
Because you had an obsession with golf carts, Robert.
Well, you said it does come down to you, I think.
you're putting it back on me.
You met him, your dad, riding around golf carts. And you asked if you could use the tractor shed. Is there a finer sentence as a creation story in the history of the world than that? So I wanted to see that happen.
Okay. When you say it like that, and I have some distance on it now, yeah, that is a little weird. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, well, I just wanted – it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. A little wacky.
Well, it was 12 years ago, so that was 2012 when the museum started. So. Yeah.
I found it really sweet, and I thought it was really fun to just kind of recreate that, because when we do these things, when we talk about the past, it's always challenging on television. Mm-hmm. What do you show? And so, well, we got to do a reenactment with golf carts.
Yeah.
You know?
And you'd hear them coming from a ways away, and they'd hit the horizon line. Here they come. You hear them before you see them, and here they come. I got to watch a little bit of the filming. I interrupted inappropriately one time only. I learned my lesson.
It was good. And you know, and the funny thing, I'm very excited about this. That's what Jonathan is editing right now. Jonathan Thompson is the videographer gallery I work with. He's not here today because he's back there working on the golf cart scene and swearing that we did it. No, he loved it. He was real excited. He's moved on to other parts of the story, but. I think it's the opening, and I think it's going to be, I hope that you like it, because I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You're going to open with that, and you're going to end with me like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Yes. Type. Yes. Become the poem. Yeah.
Can I have a recording of that afterwards? Because we're going to use that.
Yeah.
I love, no, really, seriously, what you have done with Romp is an inspiring story for everyone, Oklahoma beyond, and that it started like that is fun, but the whole thing and being here is really a fantastic story. So we're really, really excited to be able to tell it quite genuinely.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thank you. I remember the first time we invited Robert to sit in on the podcast, it was spontaneous.
Yeah.
We happened to be podcasting that day. He happened to be here that day. It was like a perfect, mm-hmm. Perfect intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very cool.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a poetry crossing.
It was a poetry crossing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got to learn about the entire county represented in the police blotter of the county newspaper.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my goodness.
Had some good poems that day.
We did have some good poems.
Unintentional.
Yeah.
Good poems.
Yeah. Yeah. As always. Yes.
Those are good ones sometimes when you don't think that you're being poetic. And you are.
Yes, as often I am, without knowing I am.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the poems that I picked out from, well, I went and took pictures of them. They're in the closet in the main room here in the museum. It's part of the witches exhibit. It's Wendy's closet. Wendy the Good Witch, the little cartoon witch. And you're supposed to, it's a chalkboard wall, and you're supposed to write a chant with chalk on the wall there. And it says more than that. There's more of a lead up to that. I'm kind of condensing it. And one of them said, "It is from afar I find you. Come in closer to be one."
See, to me, that sounds very predator-like. Like I'm going to be snared, or I'm going to be turned upside down if I step into a snare or something.
It might be.
It's cool, I suppose. Terrifyingly cool. So, yeah. It's a thinly veiled threat, in my opinion, but it's not.
It depends on how you say it, I guess. If you could sing it.
It is from afar I find you. Come in closer to be one.
See, well, that's sweet. You know, that's not quite Stevie Nicks, but it'll do. You know, yeah.
Actually, I think that is a Stevie Nicks lyric.
It is a Stevie Nicks lyric. Well, and fear not, Robert, because we would like you to recite this one, because this one requires a New York accent, which neither one of us can quite get.
And did you live in New York?
I lived in New York.
You lived in New York, so you should be able to do that one.
Ooh.
All right.
You want me to try this?
Uh-huh. And okay. The whole thing, even what's in, yeah, whatever. Mm. Go ahead.
So it's weird because, okay, so sometimes I don't know if I'm supposed to do it anymore. But sometimes I'll adopt accents. Like I spent a lot of time in Canada. I found myself thinking in a Canadian, kind of central Canadian accent. kind of a Fargo accent. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. And you can't stop.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in Russia. And you start thinking in a Russian accent and you can't stop. And I will not start because the rest of this conversation will be, I almost did it in Russian accent. And so I lived in New York. My favorite people in New York were when you go to the pizza place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the worst thing you can do in New York is say, hello, sir. Could I have a piece of cheese pizza? And so go, you know, so I don't know if I can get it. He'll go, okay, guy, you want a regular slice then? You know, so he'll go, it's a slice, slice, not a piece.
Yeah.
You don't say cheese, and you're always guy. That's what I learned very quickly in New York City.
Yeah.
So this, I don't know if I can do it. I'm not real good at New York accents.
It'll be better than what we do, whatever.
Good, good spirits. I beg your pardon. Can Jackson please have some Jordans?
I think you got it.
I don't know. Maybe that was South Boston.
It sounded a little Marky Mark.
Yeah, it was
now, if you could sing it. And then it might
change sing it. Sing it.
Oh, gosh. Well, that could be Lou Reed, right?
Oh, yeah, do Lou Reed.
Oh, man, how do you do that? Good, good spirits. I beg your pardon. Can Jackson please have some Jordans?
That's little Bob Dylan.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't get to Dylan.
Take a walk on the wild side.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're better at Lou Reed.
Thank you for indulging us on that one.
Have we started recording yet? Just a quick question. Yeah.
It's like the OSMI driving joke.
But really, somebody wrote on the chalkboard in there and they put in parentheses in a New York accent. And then they then they put that chant. Yeah.
That makes
They wanted you to think it in the New York. Did you write that on there when you were here?
No, I didn't. No. But I've often gone to them and added in a New York accent, in a Manitoba accent, you know, sabotaging other people's work.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because that makes this. The New York accent kind of makes this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a traditional spell, I guess, or wish. You know, all her Wendy's comic books, all the spells are always in couplets, you know, two lines rhymed. And this one's a little bit more in a couplet, but it's the same idea. Mm. You know, you want something.
Yeah.
You know, please, I wonder if this is manifest this for
me. I wonder
if
Jackson's a son or a nephew or something like that.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know who that is. The other one, the other one we picked out was Burn the Barn So That Now We Can See the Sun.
And you and I took offense to this because we like barns.
I take offense.
We like barns and we don't want the barns being burned.
No. Why would you burn the barns?
You can see the sky. Yeah.
Without the barn being burned. Robert. In a New York accent.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Burn the barns.
I can't do it.
So that now that we can see the sky.
Is that Bob Dylan? Now just Stevie
it's
Nicks.
Bob Dylan again.
Burn the barns so that now we can see the sky. You know, it's a southern Jimmy Hoffa.
That is Bob Dylan.
The only accent that I can do is my hillbilly one. So, you know, just the Oklahoma hillbilly that I slide into every once in a while.
That's an accent? No, I'm kidding. Oh,
yeah, we take offense because I don't really understand that one. I mean, that one's, I guess it's sort of poetic, but I mean, you can see the sky without burning the barn.
It's like step out of the shadow of a barn. Look at the sky. Yeah.
I guess they're standing in the barn. You know,
they should step out of the barn. Yeah, yeah.
It's like your barn sale over here that doesn't have a barn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the sale barn.
How did that burn down?
Because
I think we know who burned it down.
It was a long time ago.
This person. Oh, we have a clue.
Did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a wonderful place that you recorded, Robert, me doing a poem at called the Sale Barn. I know I've talked about it on here before, and it's a sale barn without a barn. It's a flea market with fleas.
I saw like three or four tables set up and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can mention, but I did get some Starbucks coffee there.
I was going to ask you, did you try it?
After I left... And this nice gentleman sold me a box full of, or one Starbucks from a box full. I noticed it expired nearly 2 years ago. It was only $5, though.
You know, may have some caffeine left in it.
I don't care. I wouldn't have risked my life. You didn't, did you?
No. And it was right next to the box of cheese and little plastic wrappers in the sun. Artisanally warmed in the sun. That was great. Mm. So I had a great time at the barn sale without a barn.
It's almost as nice as this large auction we went to at Chupp's, which is just down the road, and we enjoyed can we edit that out perhaps, or there was an auction that shall not be named just down the road that
they were named it. It's all right.
And great stuff, but we were concerned about this large drinking trough full of mayonnaise because it was July. And I just thought, I don't know. This doesn't seem like it might be wise. They were selling the mayonnaise.
You just did a couplet. With mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Really?
Is that right? Was that what rhymed? It kind of rhymes.
There was a tub full of mayonnaise and I wondered if it was wise.
I have a photograph of it somewhere.
I have a photograph of the mayonnaise.
Photographs of mayonnaise.
In the tub.
That sounds horrific.
Rub-a-dub-dub.
Rub-a-dub-dub, 400 jars of mayonnaise in a tub. You eat this and I'm not going to repeat what's going to happen.
Why again was there a tub of mayonnaise? I mean, in August or July is the worst time to have a tub of mayonnaise.
I think there are overstock items that are bought and then sold by, people. The consignment situation. However, isn't there a liability with that? Of course, they also sold chickens and goats.
I don't know. Maybe we would have found out if Robert would have drunk that coffee. We know what he was going to do after that.
I'm just going to start buying more tubs. Yeah, I don't have enough tubs.
Store it. So we
one of the things I thought about with these couplets too. I said that they're spells. They're also a lot of times warnings and advice. Advice to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure I like advice. What do y'all think about advice?
If it's unsolicited, then I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And if I ask for it and then you give it too long of a piece of advice, I will tune you out.
Maybe that's why I don't like burn the barn so that we can see the sun. I'm like, no, that's not good. That's not good advice.
Mm-hmm. It's not good advice. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Advice, I have a tricky relationship with.
Yes.
As you get older, you need less inspiration. You can be inspired, but you don't need someone to say something directly to inspire you. And advice is often like a lot of pop songs. I'll listen to some pop songs going, stop telling me how to live my life. Just talk about your broken heart, and your pickup truck, but don't, I don't know. So, yeah.
I do that, too. And then I think, oh, God, I've become a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Curmudgeon. I'm one of those old people. Well, I was just thinking about this, too, because recently I got my two little grandgirls tents and little camping equipment with their tents that they just loved. They played and told stories over their little fake fire and everything. And the other day, my son, their dad, sent me two pictures. He said the five-year-old wanted a sign on her tent, and so she had it put on the tent, and it said, follow the tent rules. And then the three-year-old was jealous of the sign, and she wanted a sign, too, on her tent. And so her dad said, well, what do you want me to put on it? And so he put her sign on her tent, and it says, horse.
My sign's better than your sign.
So anytime someone gives me advice from now on, I'm going to tell them,
horse.
Horse. Horse.
And they're going to wait for the second half, which never comes.
One thing that I'm glad they didn't put on was burn the tent so that we can see the sun.
You don't have to, because I was looking for a bigger tent that the three of us could sit in, and they have tents with moon roofs in them now.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brave new world. We didn't have those when I was young.
I got to see these fires. They make noise.
They crackle. They crackle. Mm-hmm.
They crackle and glow, little fake fires.
Mm-hmm.
We got the full tent experience because I got to witness the entire thing, a few weeks ago.
Was there a fake neighing for the horse?
No. It's just horse.
That's just beautiful.
The response.
I love it.
That's just the response to the world. Horse.
Horse came into my mind.
That's great. That's brilliant.
Speaking of coming into your mind, we had our little road trip adventure yesterday, and I get this text from Sean, running late. I think, normal text. But, 5-10 minutes later, I get another text, bring Windex. And I think, if you're driving, I shouldn't have to bring my own Windex. I'm alarmed now because of that, what am I walking into. So I come out with my paper towels and my Windex to find out Sean has Armor-alled her windshield. You know, and I thought, this, you know, I've got to see through this. And
try accidentally.
To help. Nevertheless, you know, so we spent 10 minutes de-armoring the window so we could get on the road.
Yeah.
It was an adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one tire that had 10 pounds of pressure in it. I found out the morning I was getting ready to leave. And
yeah. I was waiting. I didn't tell you.
That's why
this.
You needed the window.
I was waiting that entire trip to hear this large bang. But I'm like, I'm so glad we didn't have a blowout on the way, you know.
I like running late is a text. I love non-time specific or time specific without context. Like when you go to a shop and it's closed, back in 15 minutes.
When did you
back
leave?
In an hour?
Right. When did you leave?
I love that. And for some reason, running late somehow reminded me of that.
I never thought of that. It's like, yeah. How do I know when you left this building and when will you be back? Mm-hmm. You know, that's that is really interesting. Yeah, back soon.
Yeah.
Okay. I keep going back
before you know it.
Right. That's advice. How do you know what I know?
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
That one pissed you off, didn't
avoid
it?
Avoid advice.
I keep going back to the barns. Because that couplet again reminds me of the William Faulkner story, Barn Burning. Remember that story? The little boy whose dad was a barn burner, and he had to live up to the fact that he was a barn burner.
Is that where a close game gets called a, that was a barn burner? Does anyone know?
Oh.
I don't know.
Have you heard this? That was a real barn burner. That game was close. It was.
I have to learn a lot more about barn burner.
I have to learn. Right.
What is the barn burner? Like an old one that they needed gone, or was there something more sinister about
it? No, that was
it?
His way, because he was just a poor white Southern man, and that was his way that he got back at people who had more than he had.
Oh, my God.
Because he was just jealous.
I'm gonna
he
burn
would burn their
barn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that folk song? It's on the Smithsonian Folkways collection, and it's like a recording from West Virginia in the 20s. About like the guy that wants to be a mole in the ground. Do you know that
mole
song?
Mole in the ground, no.
I wish I were a mole in the ground. I'd root that mountain down. This guy is a little mad banjo picker. He's going to burn your barn and root down your mountain. That's what it reminds me of. I wish I remembered his name. It's a wonderful name.
That's cool.
It's a beautiful song.
It's cool.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
Yeah. Folk song. Yeah.
I guess I don't know any beautiful songs that are about moles, so that would be a first for me. Yeah.
I mean, there is a thread in it. I mean, you know, he's going to – this is not a happy little banjo picker, but it is a beautiful – I don't know. He had me with mole.
The only song I know about tearing something down is Paul Young. He was going to tear someone's playhouse down. You know, that was back in the 80s.
No.
We're not condoning that. Mm-hmm. Not condoning that. So
don't burn your tent.
Right. Leave a hole.
I decided to do the whole closet for this witch exhibit with the chant and the spells from Wendy the Good Witch, because to me that's chants are very poetic, and they're kind of like language magic, you know, that's what magic we try to do with language. And I found a really cool quote by the poet Annie Finch, and she said, "Poems meet the raw needs of our most vulnerable inner selves in a disarmingly primal way. Using a simple tool no other sort of language mobilizes in quite the same manner, predictable, physical, rhythmical repetition. Poetry chants and incants. It excites and lulls."
Mm-hmm. Incants.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard that version.
Like an incantation. Incantation, yeah, but
yes.
Using it as a verb.
Incants.
Yeah, because she was just talking about I think the article started off talking about when there's a special occasion, why do people ask for a poem, you know, or they want to read a poem? What is it that they're looking for from the poem that they're not getting from some other type of language expression?
Well, speaking of that, if I can talk about an experience I had a couple of weeks ago. I went to go see To Kill a Mockingbird in Tulsa. And Atticus's responses were very poetic.
Mm-hmm.
His way of thinking is very poetic. Because he's very nonviolent and very philosophical. And I just, you know, that must have been Harper Lee's intention, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To have him be above it all, but, you know, I can teach you something if you would listen.
To present a calm person who's seen a lot and developed some wisdom.
He did get rattled, remember, in the movie?
Yeah.
But just the one time, you know, and then he felt bad about that.
Yeah, well, then he got on to scout when she said, pass the damn ham.
Damn ham.
Yeah, she's practicing her cuss words. Yeah. And that didn't work.
It was very cool. I enjoy. I just keep thinking about that experience. It was very cool.
Bit of a couplet there.
Pass couplet, the damn ham. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that counts or not.
I had an experience. I did a limerick based upon our experience yesterday.
Well,
because,
excellent.
Because I eat eggs early in the morning and they digested really quickly. And I was being so loud in where we were.
Okay.
So
Bill and I went to the Capitol yesterday.
I'm being real cryptic. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. Thank you for explaining this.
Yeah, we recently received a grant for it's an ARPA grant, so it's pandemic relief grant, and we went to a celebration for that.
Mm-hmm. It was
but
nice.
We wound up having a really late lunch after we left.
Yeah, I enjoyed the lunch.
I did too.
Yeah. Of course, you had something. You
so know, both of our stomachs were growling through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know.
Oh, I had a Snickers bar for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, Snickers. I had eggs. So we.
Because I had Armor All on my windshield and 10 pounds of pressure in one of my tires. Mm. And then I left my credit card in the tire machine.
and then
I was late picking you up.
Then I had to clean my own window, which is rude.
So I had a Snickers for breakfast.
Yeah. But I want to
everybody feels so sorry for me. I can tell.
Who hasn't had a Snickers for breakfast?
You know? Whatever. Okay. So you wrote a limerick.
And I'd like your professional opinion. It's rotunda. Crowded into the rotunda, a growling so loud, cowabunga. We voted on Brexit, made our way to the exit because our stomachs were snarling from hunger. You know, yeah.
You went back to New York accent there.
Hunger. right. That actually was. I thought it's hunger.
That was a limerick.
Is that not a limerick? What is it? Da 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 da. What do you call that? There was no lady from Nantucket. La da 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 da. So I don't know.
It's meter. I mean, it was metered.
Oh, metered. Okay.
It was rhythmic.
Okay.
Just like I said.
I'm probably going to not get a passing grade on this, but that's all right. So anyway.
Do you know that meter and magic come from the same root word? Actually, they come from the same root word as mother.
I'm nodding my head like, yes,
yeah,
I do.
Oh, my. They do. All three of them have the same root.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to think about. Yeah. So put them together, you get an orange circle.
With an R on it.
Complete. Nothing disturbing.
Oh, my goodness.
I keep thinking about the three-pointed circle that we started this whole thing with. Can you have a three-point circle? I guess, but not really.
How can you have
can
you have a pointed circle at all?
Exactly. Yeah,
it's impossible.
That's the magic of the Wacky Poem podcast.
It is.
Yeah, you can do that.
Are y'all ready for a real poem?
Yes, of course, certainly. Always. I'm
I'm going back to the barn again.
Back to the barn.
Because. Well, that, you know, what I was just saying about that people request poetry for different occasions, and there's a reason for that, and I think it's because of the rhythm and the repetition and the condensed language and the sensual imagery and all of that, which you can have in other types of writing, but it's not, you know, concentrated and powerful like it is in poetry. But it's also because there's so much... there's so many allusions, you know, there's so many associations that we make when we listen to or read a poem. I think it really transforms us and transports us to a place in our past or, you know, an experience we've had, a book that we've read. We make associations, you know, mm-hmm. with poetry, which I don't think we do as much with other types of writing. So I'm going back to the barn because I keep thinking about the barn. And I mean, I think about my grandparents' barn, which was a very special place, and I think about these stories, barn burning, and other stories that have barns in them. And then I immediately thought of the Dylan Thomas poem, Fern Hill, because it's one of the most beautiful poems in the English language. And I shall not say it with a Welsh accent. But I would like to read it.
New York accent would be fine.
If you all will indulge me, because it's not short.
Yeah.
Fernhill, Dylan Thomas. Now, as I was young and easy under the apple boughs about the lilting house, and happy as the grass was green, the night above the dingle starry, time let me hell and climb, golden in the heydays of his eyes, and honored among wagons I was prince of the apple towns, and once below a time I'd lordly had the trees and leaves trail with daisies and barley down the rivers of the windfall light. And as I was green and carefree, famous among the barns, about the happy yard, and singing as the farm was home, in the sun that is young once only, time let me play and be golden in the mercy of his means. In green and golden I was huntsman and herdsman. The calves sang to my horn, the foxes on the hills barked clear and cold, and the Sabbath rang slowly in the pebbles of the holy streams. All the sun long it was running, it was lovely, the hay fields high as the house, the tunes from the chimneys, it was air and playing, lovely and watery, and fire green as grass. And nightly, under the simple stars, as I rode to sleep, the owls were bearing the farm away. All the moon long I heard blessed among stables, the nightjars flying with the ricks, and the horses flashing into the dark. And then to awake, and the farm like a wanderer white with the dew, come back, the cock on his shoulder, it was all shining, it was Adam and maiden, the sky gathered again and the sun grew round that very day, so it must have been after the birth of the simple light in the first spinning place, the spellbound horses walking warm out of the whinnying green stable onto the fields of praise. And honored among foxes and pheasants by the gay house under the new-made clouds, and happy as the heart was long, in the sun born over and over, I ran my heedless ways, my wishes raced through the house-high hay, and nothing I cared at my sky-blue trades that time allows, and all his tuneful turning, so few, and such morning songs, before the children green and golden, follow him out of grace. Nothing I cared in the lamb-white days that time would take me up to the swallow-thronged loft by the shadow of my hand in the moon that is always rising, nor that riding to sleep I should hear him fly with the high fields and wake to the farm forever fled from the childless land. Oh, as I was young and easy in the mercy of his means, time held me green and dying, though I sang in my chains like the sea.
Yay. Thank you.
Wow.
Isn't that an awesome poem?
Nightjars and Swallows. Yeah. I think I know what a nightjar sounds like. That's like their version of a whippoorwill, an evening bird.
Yeah.
Mm. Ain't love poetry that. Something.
Mm. Love that poem.
Mm-hmm.
When was that? Do you know? Do you know when he was writing that?
It was probably the 20s or 30s. Mm-hmm.
Maybe 100 years ago today.
Yeah, yeah. Could have been. True. Could have looked true. It up.
That's great.
He didn't live a real long life.
Yeah.
There's a lot to take in there.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. He was the last poet. Well, I don't know. There might be some currently. But one of the very few that made a living from poetry, mm-hmm. because he was such a great performer of his poems, too. So you should just Google Fern Hill and Dylan Thomas and listen to a recording of him.
Do you ever wonder about people like him? The sensory and perception powers must be mm-hmm. just overwhelming mm-hmm. to perceive that.
Well, I think that's partly probably why he was an alcoholic.
Just
that's how, you know, that's how you deal with that sometimes.
Consumed by you. You know,
as we raise our glass of wine here.
The emotional, the unbearable lightness of being, of seeing and loving everything that you, yeah. Occasionally it happens.
It does.
I must decompress.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Sorry. A lot in there.
Yeah, there was.
Now I see why that woman approached you yesterday and said, I know you. I'm a fan. And you were like, me? You know, and I know you, and they've listened to the podcast, and then they've said you encouraged us to do our own podcast,
mm-hmm.
and you introduced me and said this is my podcast, my co-host, right. And they said that's him, and I did this over I looked over my shoulder like, you know, as if I was in a Molly Ringwald film.
Celebrity for 30 seconds.
It was fun. That made the whole thing worth it, you know.
Yeah, I did a workshop last summer, and they were in the workshop. And, they said they were inspired by it. And I got that was a workshop where I got a chocolate marshmallow. That was my payment, for that workshop.
Well, that's your lunch.
I got a floppy cork coaster for a 2-hour workshop I did last week.
Now you deserve more than a coaster, but I'm glad you got a coaster. I've always wanted a coaster.
Talk about making me easing the sting of that. I'm glad you got something.
I will give you that coaster, Robert. I think it's over there on my desk.
That's brilliant. It's wonderful.
The arts are wonderful. Yeah.
This is just unstoppable expression that you have here at this place. I mean, it's really inspiring, you know. And that, you know, going back to what, you know, when I hear this and people on the steps of the Capitol coming, I know you. I'm a fan. You know you've done something right when you can't get into the Capitol without being recognized, you know. And it does mean a lot to people, there's no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my first time I've been to the Capitol. So
you got to go more often.
I got to go more often. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Robert, have you told us about what you're going to be up to in the following months?
Yeah, I am moving to Oregon.
I don't like that news. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It left me sort of unsettled, like, no.
Well, I feel it as well. I came back for family about 4 years ago, and I've been apart from my daughter for 4 years. And it was never meant to be 4 years because there was talk of them coming, and then the quarantine happened. My ex is from Oklahoma as well. And after 4 years, you know, my daughter's best friend is next door. She has ballet. Mm-hmm. She has softball. She has a much better school. She has a dog that likes to walk 4 miles, and there's a very easy to walk in Oregon and stuff. And I was going, I'm coming.
Good coffee.
But yes, really good coffee. It's a beautiful state. It starts with an O.
How old is your daughter?
15.
Oh, so you want to be with her during this? Because, this is important.
Someone's got to teach her how to drive. Not me, but I'm going to try to find that person.
Teach her how to drive. Teach her how to wear those heels for that prom dress.
It's not easy to go, you know. This has been kind of an unexpected return to Oklahoma, kind of mid-late career, I guess. You know, after years in New York, I lived in London, I lived in Oregon before, I lived in San Francisco, lived overseas some, and Australia. I said London, not London, Ontario. I did go overseas, London, England. Mm-hmm. But to be back has been really great. It's really kind of reconnected me. I've always kind of seen Oklahoma as home in a way. And, you know, just to be kind of, you know, around family more and things like that's great. But I got to go for her. So it isn't. I feel like the choice is beyond me. I feel like there's unfinished business in what I do with my work and getting reconnected to Oklahoma. But at the same time, I'm heading out, driving in a car.
You know, if I could speak for Sean, we want to thank you for seeing something special here. Mm-hmm. And maybe the quarantine allowed that you to micro focus on the little odd places that are points of light. You know,
it is a point of light,
and we thank you for noticing us, you know, as I've noticed Sean.
Have you noticed
me? I've noticed you for a while, you know, as
I'm just kind of,
as we've discussed.
Kind of hard to miss sometimes.
You're right. You know, we're all fans, but, you know, it's.
Just listen for the golf cart hum and follow it, and you'll get there.
But it's nice to get this, because your recognition and your praise for what she does is genuine. And that's really appreciated.
I can't talk enough about what this place is, the magic of what this is. This is, to me, is a template for everyone that if you want to do something, just do it. Mm-hmm. And I find that as pure of a story as you can find in Oklahoma and beyond. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had talked, you know, first of all, last fall, we were going to try to do something. And various reasons we got delayed, but I knew I was not leaving. In fact, I stayed April. So that we could do this story, as opposed to going a month ago. You know, and I wanted so badly for this story to be shared. And when we do our stories, it goes to PBS, OETA is the biggest PBS station in the country. But we share our art stories with other art stations or art shows around the country. So ideally, people will pick this up and see this in Boston and Baltimore and Reno and Tampa and wherever they pick it up. It's not completely national, but it does go to a lot of things. Because I do think it's just a really, you know, a testament to what you can do. Mm-hmm. If you follow some kind of passion and some capacity and you have access to a tractor shed.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, I love it though. I really do. I think it's one of the more beautiful things that I've seen. And I tell people all the time about this place.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I said it's amazing. One of two museums in the country dedicated to poetry, Washington, D.C., and Logro. Yeah.
Locust Grove.
Yeah.
It's really great. It really is. I can't say it enough. Oh, it's very inspiring.
That's awesome. Isn't that nice? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you edit that all out?
No, we're putting that in. We're putting that on a poster and framing. Yeah.
So this episode of Gallery America that's about northeastern Oklahoma, and so then we're a part of that, and so that's kind of your... Is that your swan song then with the OETA then?
There's one. My phone's beeping. I just turned it off.
Okay.
It is. I'm working on two at once. So okay. I will have the June episode that I'm working on as well.
Okay.
But the June episode will not have golf carts. Or a typewriter. Not even a typewriter.
Aww.
Golf carts and typewriters.
Wah, 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 wah.
Well, you know, Sean, you've said that I've asked you in the past, you know, why did you start this museum? And your answer always is because no one stopped you. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad no one stopped you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, often we stop ourselves, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, someone's at the door.
Someone's knocking wood.
You're who's
knocking
stop wood?
Don't open the door.
Don't answer. Stop. Don't answer. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a line from a Perry Mason novel, and somebody says, well, it was fun while it lasted. And then the response is, when did it quit lasting?
When did,
yeah.
Who quit it?
Yeah.
Well, I think is that it?
Well,
what?
Did you have a poem?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I'm not going to let him get away that easily because he said he had a poem, and it's like, no.
I know. I went off on my Fern Hill madness.
You know, it's very common that Dylan Thomas would kind of open for something that I'm doing. So, yeah, this is great.
your lead in.
I did write a poem. I have written a number of poems since I met you.
Excellent.
And I've been writing in this little sad notebook that I have, and I look out the window and write about, you know, the big bird that appears, or the free jazz that's playing on my record player, and things like that. I've been experimenting.
Excellent.
And this one is about my ongoing rivalry, playful, good-natured rivalry with pickup trucks in the cities. Mm. Okay?
Okay.
So not Logro. Oklahoma City pickup trucks.
We got to copyright that.
Yeah.
Let's get the CVB over here. So I guess it's called All Our Empty Corners. I'm not sure if that is or not. And apologies to Dylan Thomas fans for this, you know. Just fast forward.
You're not going to do it in a Welsh accent?
I can't do a Welsh accent, I don't think. Can never quite get the London accent other than
a little bit.
I love the East London thing.
All right.
I'll try to do this, and please save your mocking laughter to the ending if you can. Well, there'll be a few intermissions.
Can we chortle?
Chortle, please.
Okay. All right.
Lately, I think of pickup truck drivers, of city centers of the CTZ, driven by men in mirrored sunglasses, close-crop goatees on stern faces, menacing stickers on back cab windows of freshly washed Chevys and Fords. I look back at the one stop behind me now, though I already know what I'll find, a bed perfectly empty. SUVs carry their space inside, as do hatchbacks and sedans. Only these pickup trucks flaunt their space. Their very architecture champions this guarded space that you see whizzing past taco trucks and laundromats and hospitals and backing into parking spots at the overpriced barbecues. Sometimes I laugh at the men, as if their beds were open-faced sandwiches looking for a tea party in some fenced-in field, just some place to gather and get giddy. But then I wonder, maybe these men are heroes. After all, they make me think, too, of the unused space we all carry around, though less seen. Crates and closets, parts of pockets, entire desk drawers, that floor-level cupboard too small for the rice cooker, too out of the way for plates, untapped time, all our empty corners. He honks his horn as I wait for the no right on red lane light to go green. But I'm somewhere else now. What if we collect all these spaces and tether them somehow to create a great chain, a great bridge that reaches the very rings of Saturn, so that all people toads, bugs, mongoose too, all of us could gather at the Mississippi banks right by the arch on a Saturday morning and go in mass, outward and upward, only occasionally turning back to gaze at our little star diminished.
That's what I got. Love that. Bravo.
It sounds like you're wanting to start a cult, Robert.
I think I want to stay on the little gaze at the little star, you know, honestly. I don't think I'll head to Saturn, but I do want to hang out with the mongoose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. It just, that's the thing you think about when you get honked at in the no. Mm-hmm. The lane that you're deliberately are not allowed to turn right on red. I have so much anxiety in that lane. This doesn't happen in Low Grove so much. Oklahoma City, there's some no right on red. There's a red arrow to the right. Do not turn right on red. And you always get honked at.
Yeah.
And so I avoid those intersections because it's like I don't want to break this rule.
But
and you don't want to be honked at.
Because most places you can turn right on reds. But why are they honking at you? Educate me. Because you're not turning right?
Because you can't turn right on red, and most people turn right on red anyway.
And they want him to.
And they regardless want you, they of want the you sign. To break that.
Yes, they do. They want me to burn that barn.
You know what you say to that, Robert? Horse.
Oh, horse. Horse.
Yes.
Horse.
Horse. What was that?
Horse. Horse. Horse.
Yeah, I'm going to use that.
That's Kate's anthem.
I've been thinking about this a little bit because I'm leaving, and the urban pickups, and I love them, isn't going to be a thing in Oregon as much. And I always, and I do this jokingly, when I see them, I'm going, whenever I see them, I'd say to no one, put something in the back of that truck. Put something back there. Because they're all empty. And you're just showing me your space. But I did think about, you know, what, that's, you know,
really, you just did my grandpa voice, by
that
the
is
way.
Really
put something in that truck.
I will never think of an empty pickup bed in the same way again.
Think of what it could do for toads.
No, it was very existential.
It was
a poem, a study, meditation on the emptiness, the four square emptiness of the pickup bed truck.
Working on it.
Bed, pickup, truck, bed.
It is a bed, isn't it? That's what it's called.
It is a bed.
I should look that up.
It is a bed. It is a bed. Yes. Yeah. But I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one that does these cirrus cloud chains of pondering. And just it goes and goes and spirals. And it's not just me.
No.
You know, there are others. There are others.
I don't know how poetry works, and I'm still finding my way with what I think that I might be able to do. But I found myself, when I started that, if I may say, be so bold, that I just knew that I wanted to talk about the trucks, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes they're there, and they're a little menacing behind you, you know, and they're always very clean.
Mm-hmm.
And but then as I played with it, I realized that I could turn them into heroes. At least with quotation marks.
And what's nice here is hearing it in you read that, because those are your words that you read. That made it even more special.
Do you know why those truck beds are that clean? Because they just got rid of the bodies and they'd been to the car wash.
That's right.
And yeah.
Or the deer carcasses that they dumped on my property, which are attracting all these coyotes. I don't know, but I digress.
I don't mean to tease them so much, but there's a lot of very nice, big, giant pickup trucks that don't appear to be used for their purpose, and so that's where it all started. And I will honestly miss that about Oklahoma, my ongoing kind of pondering at why they got that, what they use it for, etc.
Interesting. Maybe that's another poem. Has the purpose of a pickup truck changed over time?
I think the title of that will be compensation. What are you compensating for? We're all compensating for something. What are you compensating? Am I too simplistic? Number one for me.
I think we're about ready to wrap it up.
I think so. I wanted to hear that poem. I had to coax it out.
I'm glad you said that because I forgot.
Thank you for humoring me.
This has been a special podcast because, you know, and as I've told you, we have a guest cabin that you have a standing invitation to it.
I appreciate it.
Sean knows she's welcome anytime. You know, we've had.
Now you've said it on the air, Bill. People are going to be calling you.
Where's this magic cabin? Magic cabin that you speak of?
Can I drive my truck with my empty bed down to your cabin?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it, I believe. Yeah, I think that's it. Someone stopped me from talking. Shut me down.
Was there something you were going to do at the end of this?
No? I wasn't going to sing.
Okay.
No. I think I
you thought about it, but changed your mind.
All right. Well, thank you all for being with us. Thank you very much, Robert, for being here and all the work and the time that you put into the Gallery America wonderful show. You're very talented. You're very intuitive.
Your humor, and creative your humor stands, and humorous. Dry humor, I just love that dry humor. Yes. It's not common.
Yes.
You know?
And you are a real person.
Absolutely.
And I meet a lot of fake people. So it's nice, nice to be around real people.
Right. Genuine.
Yeah, yeah. So really appreciate you.
Thank you very
much. Thank you for being
here.
It's
my honor to be here.
And thank you all listeners. Spread the word, and we will be seeing you next time.
Absolutely.
Although we're not seeing you, and you're not seeing us.
You'll be hearing us.
Donna Doggahee.
Bye, guys.